Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast, because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Just do the intro.
Or skip the intro and just get right into it.
I hate the intro, right?
I like the intro.
I wonder how many people do podcast intros kill? Because everyone's like looking down, skip, 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 skip.
Yeah, I do that. All the time.
John, 3 for 3?
Yeah, double tap, 10 seconds. Oh, that's not long enough. Another 10 seconds.
Oh, I went too far.
I do at least a minute. At least a minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if it's one that you've seen before, then you know how long to do it for, right?
Right.
Yeah, when to start it.
And then, like you said, Nate, you got to back up.
Yeah. I do the 30 seconds, 30 or 15 or whatever it is on Apple Podcasts, 30, 30. And then it's like, oh, crap, they're talking. Nah, I got to go back. Oh, crap, they're still talking. Oh, man. All right. I guess I got to go through this 8 seconds of BS. Yeah, totally. All the time.
That being said, who's today's podcast brought to us by?
Well, Mike, since you asked, this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at Del Lago at the Del Lago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York, off exit 41, rather, Route 90. You can't get that one wrong. So the Buffalo Bills beat the Jets 32-6, keep their playoff hopes alive. I put up this this tweet and put it on Instagram or whatever. It was like that Sopranos episode where Silvio's like trying to make Tony laugh, and Tony loves, like, when he does his impression of the Godfather and Al Pacino, he's like, just when I thought I was out, bring me back in. Do you ever see that one? Okay, there's a lot of blank stares at me. Anyway, that was
John and I are waiting till we're sure that they're not going to reboot it, they're not going to do another movie. We want it to be, no, it's a wrap, and then we're going to start watching.
Have you guys not seen The Sopranos?
No, I'm waiting.
Okay. Mike's waiting. John, have you not seen it either, I'm guessing, based on what Mike said?
I've seen some of it.
Oh, jeez. You guys are like The Sopranos the way I am with Seinfeld. Eh, I know a little bit about it. But the Buffalo Bills keep their playoff hopes alive. Decidedly, very. The offense looked good. The defense looked tremendous. You know, the way that you beat the Zach Wilson-led team is to just get up by enough scores that he has to pass the ball, and then it's over, basically. Like, you've won the game. And in this case, they benched Zach Wilson for who gives a crap, and then, you know, that he has 2 turnovers, too. So, a lot of love. John, how are you feeling after this game? By the way, I'm joined by my co-host Mike and John on this episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. John, how you doing, man?
Doing good. The Bills won, right? Defense looked good as always. Special teams definitely improved since last week. Offense, it was there. I mean, I'm not going to expect them to move mountains 6 days after they fired their offensive coordinator. Definitely a lot more field goals and touchdowns. But, you know, I guess we'll see how it goes.
I was encouraged by the offense. I didn't think it looked great. But then again, this is a Jets defense that the Bills historically have not played well against. I mean, if you just look at, you know, the game earlier this season and last season and the two last season, like, they don't usually put up a lot of points against the Jets. Like, they usually like win them. But they don't put up a lot of points. Josh Allen doesn't have his best game usually. And
the Jets aren't good defense, man. Top five, no doubt.
Top five, top six, yeah, for sure.
Does that mean if you say top six, that means they're six?
Yeah, statistically. I say top five, top six. I really mean top three. No, just kidding.
Like, what's the Bills' offense, right? And what should it be?
Well, the Broncos' defense is like bottom 20s, and they made the Broncos' defense look like the Jets' defense a couple weeks ago. So yeah. I'll take anything at this point.
That's the whole like week to week thing, right?
Yep. And that was at home two weeks ago. This one was at home, but the Bills didn't turn the ball over that many times. Would you say like the Gettysburg of the game, if we're going to talk about turning point, was just like that opening kickoff where Gilliam hit the returner and knocked the ball loose, and all of a sudden the Bills got the ball at the Jets' like 20-yard line?
Maybe if they score a touchdown there, but that's a huge, I would say, win for the defense, the Jets' defense. It's like I thought it was kind of deflating for the Bills to just go three field goals in a row. You can't punch one in.
Mm-hmm. That was frustrating.
I mean, on the other hand, the Jets never led, so like that could have prevented them from taking a lead on their first possession. But I don't know if it's really Gettysburg, really, right, when it comes down to it.
No, I think I got a better Gettysburg, but yeah, that was it set the momentum for the game, or at least it felt like the Bills came out with a little bit more energy than they normally do. We'd always talk about the Bills starting late or not really getting their feet under them at the beginning of the game, and this week was different. It seemed like they came out with a purpose. And I don't know if that's just the firing of Ken Dorsey, or maybe the special teams was pissed off after what a terrible game that they had the week beforehand, covering punts, covering kicks, then the 12 men on the field to end the game. But it seemed like that team had a lot more life, didn't it? Maybe it's a divisional rival too. Like that all plays into it. But in my head, in my linear, you know, very superficial, logical brain, I like to think it's because of the firing of Ken Dorsey. But let's talk about the offense. Let's talk about Ken Dorsey versus Joe Brady. Things that you liked, things that you didn't like. I couldn't really find a lot of things I didn't like, to be honest. They had motion, that the offense didn't look like, I mean, it didn't look great. Like I think John mentioned earlier, it didn't look great, but it didn't stall out completely. And you're just like, why is every inch so tough? Like there was an 81-yard touchdown to Khalil Shakir. Like that never happened. The Bills scored 32 points. They haven't done that since week four. Like, there's something to this, especially against a good Jets defense.
I was really hoping for at least 35, got to be honest. But no, you're right. Like, I noted the motion as well. I thought that was positive. Still a lot of shotgun, which I wasn't a big fan of. But, you know, what are you going to do in 6 days? I'd like to see more play action in the future. But, yeah, I mean,
they passed to a running back, though. That was kind of cool to see. We haven't seen that in a few weeks.
Especially from a guy who was known out of college for catching a lot of passes.
That's one of the reasons that you draft a guy like James Cook, is so that he can catch said passes. Yeah. Mike, I didn't get to you specifically about this game. What were your thoughts on the game overall, or the offense, or anything in general you want to go off about?
Oh, it was a fun game start to finish. I liked how the Bills jumped out, but the only rub, I guess, was that they couldn't punch the ball in at the beginning. But scoring on the six of the final eight possessions really punctuated the win for me, I think. And to me, what I come away from this game with, I think we're all excited moving forward with Joe Brady and Rasul Douglas. I mean, unbelievable trade at the deadline. Like, we were super high on him just by the reaction of Packers fans, but now seeing him in a Bills uniform making play after play, it's like, wow. Yeah, I can't believe we got that guy.
I know. I'm glad you brought up Rasul Douglas, Mike, because it was like two interceptions, a fumble recovery. The guy was just everywhere. I mean, the defense, I mean, it was against Zach Wilson, sure, that can be said, but like, you know, it doesn't mean the Bills have to have that many takeaways. Five takeaways in all in this win. They don't necessarily look that good the week beforehand, but they look great. I agree. I'm glad. I mean, if we were going to go, if you guys want to do Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame real quick, because we're kind of breaking format with the way that we've done our podcast the last few weeks.
No, it's better. We're just going bang, bang, bang. What's on your mind?
What's on your mind? I would give Rasul Douglas, I had as my Wall of Famer.
I have him Defensive Player of the Week.
Defensive Player of the Week of the NFL?
Yeah.
If you think about it, like you said, they gave up a third, they got a fifth. Like, they basically gave up nothing for him. and what a player he's turned out to be. I mean, this is the kind of trade. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Please stop me from getting ahead of myself.
You look back.
When they're playing when they're in the Super Bowl, the confetti's coming down from the rafters. You're just like, man, it's a good thing Brandon Bean made that trade. So isn't that funny, though? Like, what a difference your outlook on this team is just in general with, like, the way the offense is performing in, like, a top five way. I mean, they looked really good, and it just gives you a different outlook. Now, would you wish that this would have happened, like, 2 or 3 weeks sooner if we were get this type of success? Sure. But with Burrow out, with Watson out for the season, both of those guys out for the season, both ahead of the Buffalo Bills, with those guys out, the Ravens losing Mark Andrews for the season, their best pass catcher. It just seems like injury after injury. CJ Stroud went down for a little bit today. I was like, oh man, like, is this going to be another guy ahead of us? So yeah, if you want to do here, I'll do stats of the game real quick.
Wait. All right, so we're talking about what Wall of Famer. I'm going to give it to McDermott. Defense, single digits, 6 points. They've been playing great all year anyway, but to hold the team together with what they've been through and, like, after firing the offensive coordinator and the team still playing well enough to, obviously, you know, to pull out a win 32-6 against a division rival, I mean, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you think about the way that the defense performed week one versus the same offense, basically, it was nice to see, like, the Bills take advantage of injuries for once, because it feels like the last few weeks, like, there'd be an injury on the opposing team and the Bills would not benefit from that whatsoever. It might as well have been like that player was still playing, right? Their backup right tackle, or their right tackle goes out, Mekhi Becton, and all of a sudden, like, the Bills are getting sacks left and right. Like, they're getting pressure. Like, Zach Wilson doesn't have time to throw the ball. He's thrown it into the dirt every other play. Team finally taking advantage of those things that were right in front of them this entire time.
When I say, oh, what most impresses me is Rasul Douglas, you're like, oh, he's only playing the Jets. When John says, oh, McDermott, you're all, oh, John, great job. It should be, oh, well, they're only playing the Jets.
I said that, like, as a small, like, little aside, like, well, they're playing the Jets, but I agree with you. I gave him the Wall of Fame. Of course I like him. Of course I agree with you, but yeah. John was just slightly...
When I was talking about my Wall of Famer, I mentioned they were playing a division rival, so that adds to it, right?
I see.
Yeah.
Mike, who do you have on your Wall of Fame?
Douglas.
You're like, I'm the one that first started the Douglas trade. Rasul Douglas. Future. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't know how they would even work it or fit it in, but could you imagine a secondary next season with hopefully a healthy Tre'Davious White, a Rasul Douglas, and Christian Benford is their third, as their backup cornerback? Like, that's just wild. That's just an insane amount of talent on their secondary. So, but anyway, also on the defense, a shout out to Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd looked amazing. He looked like somebody put it up, I think, on Instagram. They DM'd me and they said, Leonard Floyd is what Von Miller was supposed to be. That was just like, I can't disagree with that. I think he's right. Also having a sack today. Let's go through all those. Tyrell Dodson had a sack. He looked good. Terrell Bernard had a half sack. Ed Oliver had a sack. Shaq Lawson had a sack. What'd you guys think? Shaq Lawson had that really good sack, by the way. I remember that. But Ed Oliver's hit on that roughing the passer call when he hit it. I mean, that looked like they called it right. He did. But it's a good play.
You can't really. I mean, I've seen Milano do that, but, like, he, like, at the last second is able to, like, go to the side and not, like, land on top of him. But, like, that's got to be so hard to do when your momentum's carrying you. So I can't blame Oliver for it.
No, it was the right call, but it's, yeah, I could see them not calling it at the same time. What about Wall of Shame? Is there anything that, because last week there were a lot of Wall of Shame candidates. This week, it's hard to put anybody on the Wall of Shame. I mean, special teams looked good. Looked much better from last week. Is like a 180. Offense looked good. Defense looked good. This was a total team win. For once, coaching, I think for the most part, was pretty good. There was that Hail Mary at the end of the first half where, I mean, looking back at it, hindsight being 2020, terrible play. Just Allen didn't even get it to the end zone in that pass. And the guy returned it. And you're like, is he going to return that for a pick six? Like, what's going on? But
yeah, that whole sequence was a little weird. Like, they saved that timeout for almost nothing. And they almost seemed like they were setting themselves up to do the Hail Mary instead of like getting closer than that to like get a field goal or something, or maybe even a touchdown. Like, I mean, you've seen teams do it in 13 seconds. So like they had 45 seconds, right? not to go there, but, but really like that whole sequence seemed really bad. And then he didn't even throw in the end zone after that. Like, I know he's got the arm for it. So like he was throwing it to a guy. I get it. But like, shouldn't that guy been closer to the end zone?
Yeah, it was frustrating because I think the Jets had a 3-man rush and they like immediately got to Josh. So he had to like run out of the pocket and flush and throw. But yeah, you're right. He didn't make it to the end zone. It's like, well, what's the point even? What did you think he was going to catch at the 10-yard line and somehow run in with 8 defensive backs waiting for him? That's what they should do. They should have some guy catch it like the 8-yard line, pass it across the field to the one guy that's wide open. There, that could be an offensive coordinator. So, yeah, anyone on your Wall of Fame, guys? Or Wall of Shame, rather?
Well, I think as fans, I don't want to say Brady. I want to say Joe or Joe Brady or offensive coordinator Brady, Joe Brady.
So to differentiate between...
That's all. I just don't like, it gives me a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
No offense to Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, but I just don't like the last name. It's negative connotation.
Yeah. Well, it'd be the same thing.
So we got to decide on something.
Be the same thing if his last name was Belichick. It'd be like,
100%. Yeah.
Jeff Belichick. Like, why did it have to be Belichick? Yeah.
You could call him Brady, not the cheater Brady or something.
I don't want to call him Joe B. Because that's like Joe Burrow, right? Joey B.
Or Joe Biscaglia. Yeah.
Or Joe, yeah, Joe B. Joe Biscaglia, of course.
Joseph.
We should just call him by his government all the time. Whatever his middle name is. Let's find out what his middle name is. Let's find out his social security address. His address. Mother's maiden name.
Just something I think we have to figure out going forward.
Yeah. Joe Brady. Joseph F. Brady. Joseph freaking Brady, right? Today looked amazing. It was so cool seeing like what an offense looked like, that it felt like, again, not perfect like we mentioned, but man, they got their crap together, especially in the second half. They looked really good. At times unstoppable. I mean, running the ball, even like they looked like a different team running the ball. Now they looked good last week, but against such a better, I mean, this Jets defense is so much better than the Denver Broncos defense. Like, it is not close. Like the Broncos had like the 32nd best run defense, and the Jets have one of the best, so much that they were yelling at each other on the sidelines because of how much the Bills were gashing them. So much that Sauce Gardner was like getting unnecessary roughness penalties because he was getting so frustrated how the Bills were beating them so badly.
Yeah, how about Ty Johnson? What was he, our like fifth string running back?
I was just gonna say, who is he and where has he been?
Ty Johnson, revenge game for Ty Johnson. He's a former Jet. I think we've seen him in the past. I don't think he's been a starter, but like a complimentary back.
But yeah, I mean, that's why like I was talking to your thing. I'm like, that's why I was so mad during the drought that the Bills would draft all these first round running backs or trade for LeSean McCoy. I'm like, I get they're great, but like also have Ty Johnson. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So people were wondering why Leonard Fournette isn't playing or isn't active. And I was kind of wondering the same thing too, but I think they only get 4 call-ups from the practice squad until they have to get signed to the active roster. And maybe they're just saving those for either the playoffs or if there is, you know, God forbid, another injury where they need to call him up, you know, so you kind of use him sparingly up until then or save him for a deep run. Maybe we'll see. How much different, John? So like we weren't in a good place last week. How much different is we did that, you know, Ken Dorsey firing podcast episode and you were feeling much better after that, after you saw that and then combined with, you know, how well Joe Brady has taken over. I mean, he just seems like a different guy. I mean, you have a guy like giving high fives to the staff saying, fuck yeah, like to everyone, you know, screaming in the booth. And then you have Ken Dorsey, who's just kind of like kind of reminds me of like a math teacher or something, like, you know, except when he wigs out and like hulks out in the booth, like, right? Like this, they seem like completely two different demeanors. And that was the big thing that everyone was taking away from the press conferences is Ken Dorsey's much more reserved. He's much quieter. And Joe Brady, like he's out in the field, like giving guys high fives and almost chest bumps on the practice field. Like this is a much more, he's a much more animated guy. They sound, they kept talking about Josh Allen, talked about how positive he is in the way that he carries himself and the way he talks and stuff like that, just the kind of person he is. And not that Ken Dorsey wasn't positive, but at the same time, like, just differences, right? Like, he's not as positive, maybe. But John, where are you at?
I mean, for me, what it boils down to is there's been some issues, not specified to necessarily one person, but I think that the majority of that was
Ken Dorsey.
So over 50% of the problems, probably a lot more than that, was Dorsey, in my opinion. So part of it for me is addition by subtraction, but we don't necessarily know what we have yet in Brady. Like, I know he's had experience in Carolina calling plays.
Offensive coordinator Joseph Brady.
Yes. So I guess we'll see. We'll see how it goes the rest of the season. And if they decide to make it permanent next year or go for somebody else, I mean, they got a lot of tough games coming up. So it's really, they make the playoffs and make a run at it, and probably going to stick with them, right? They'd have to, because they'd have to score that many points each. Like, you look at their schedule, they just score a lot of points.
Yeah. I mean,
win those games.
Exactly. Let's say they lose, where do they play next? The Eagles, right? So if they finish that game and the Bills lose, but the offense looks good and they lose for like other reasons, again, out of the offensive coordinator's control, like turnovers or something like that. Like, if it's 35-32, I think that's still a good week for Joseph Brady, right? So I think
it depends. Like, a lot of it's like, we call it the eye test for players a lot of the time, but like, you can see the play calling and the scheme and like, in the right situations, does it make sense and this and that. And I think that's part of it too.
The eye test, for sure. So let me do stats of the game real quick. Stats of the game brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. Josh Allen, 20 for 32, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. So a great game by Joshua F. Allen. James Cook on the ground. Captain Cook, 17 carries for 73 yards. Latavius Murray, 10 carries for 35 yards. Josh Allen, 5 carries for 15 yards. And Ty Johnson, 3 carries for 11 yards. This is someone that I probably should have given an honorable mention for when we were putting folks on our Wall of Fame. And that's Khalil Shakir. Khalil Shakir was the leading receiver for the Bills today with that 81-yard touchdown pass. He had 3 receptions on 4 targets for 115 yards and 1 touchdown. Ty Johnson, which we mentioned earlier, which you guys liked, 3 receptions on 3 targets for 47 yards and 1 touchdown also. The guy looked great. Dalton Kincaid, 6 receptions on 7 targets for 46 yards. James Cook, 3 receptions on 4 targets for 29 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown at the beginning of the game. And that's about it for the Bills. Zach Wilson, 7 for 15, 81 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Man, that was a rough stat line. Breece Hall, the leading rusher. Breece Hall, who normally like destroys the Bills, had 10 carries for 23 yards. That's it. And up until like, I think the second half, he had like 10 carries for 0 yards. Like, the Bills were handling their business on defense all the way around. It was just, in receiving the ball, Breece Hall had 5 receptions on 6 targets for 50 yards and a touchdown. And he was the leading receiver for the Jets. I mean, even Garrett Wilson had 2 receptions on 8 targets for 9 yards.
Do you think we get to see Shakir out there more? Like, Gabe Davis, like, that would be my one thing this game. Like, Gabe Davis completely disappears.
Yeah.
Is it time to get more wide receivers involved? Like, I think we agree that would be a big need in the upcoming draft. Like, we have to address that position because Gabe Davis just disappears for stretches at a time. But will offensive coordinator Joe Brady get some of these other guys in the game? That's like, we saw today. Like, I was very encouraged.
That's a good point. Like, Davis isn't going to get resigned whether he's good or bad, right? They're not going to have the money to resign him anyway. So
they might now after he had 0 targets tonight.
Well, yeah. But
would you want him for like the bare minimum?
I'd take him for the bare minimum.
See what you have.
I'm done.
In Shakir and you just got Hardy and Sherfield. I know Sherfield's got hurt too, but see what you got in all these guys that you brought in.
I love them all.
The Shakir 81-yard, I mean, that's contention for play of the game, right? Like, the Jets only rushed 3 on that. They dropped everybody else back. And Allen still got the ball to Shakir, and he ran it the rest of the way. Everybody else is back there. Mm-hmm. He beat Sauce Gardner, I think, even.
Yes, he did. He did. Absolutely. Sauce was pretty saucy after that play. Thanks.
Did he drop Diggs after that?
I think it was after that. Right? I think so.
Yeah.
Diggs was quiet today.
Yeah, Diggs
like statistically, but one of the points for sure, and I know that's what you meant, but I would say like I'm encouraged, like even though he wasn't getting targets, like he was super into the game. Like,
oh, for sure.
Cheering people, like running, like celebrating. Yeah. Like it seemed like the team as a whole unit was back.
That's one thing you can say about Diggs is that he never seems frustrated or upset. At least the times that you see him frustrated and upset, it's not because the Bills are doing well and he's just not getting the ball, right? Mm-hmm. Winning solves everything, right? Like that's like, if I'm not getting the ball, I'm not getting my 100 yards and a touchdown.
Then somebody else better be getting that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not that we're all stalling out completely, right? Although I still think that they should include him more, but yeah, Mike, I'm glad you brought up Gabe Davis because Gabe Davis is this year's version of me. I like him. I don't love him. So like it was Tremaine Edmonds before that for me and Dawson Knox. It's just like I could let him walk easily. Like I've heard rumblings that the Bills want to re-sign him, you know, this season. Like they want to make that priority. I don't see why. I think he has his moments, but Khalil Shakir has his moments too. Once you freaking get him involved, so what's the difference between him and Shakir right now?
Yeah, Shakir is only inconsistent because of his opportunities. Like he only has so much percent of the target share.
Exactly.
Or even the plays that he's on the field, right?
Wouldn't you argue at this point he's their third best receiving option? It's Diggs, Kincaid, and then it's Shakir, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree with that. And I'd like to see more from Hardy, to be honest, too. But he's not on the field either, so like you can't even judge it.
I'd like them to use him like a Tank Dell sort of guy, right? Like where you see CJ Stroud always, and Tank Dell, that was his big knock because he's only 5'9". It's like, well, that does not matter for Tank Dell. He looks amazing on the Texans.
What is with you and short guys, man? You're not going to play in the NFL.
I have no problem with short guys, but no, he could do
you
it.
Love them.
Yeah, I know. Hardy's 5'7". Get him some balls. It can be done. Get these little guys
He's
involved.
Not big enough.
How tall was Steve Tasker when he finally got to play receiver? He was really good.
He's 5'9".
Just like you, right?
I'm close to 5'9". Close enough. I'll take 5'9".
You might be too old to play. You might be too old to play in the NFL.
He's a short king.
He's a short king. Yes, he was. He was the original, the short special team short king. Super Bowl special team short king. He was the original. OG, Steve Tasker. No, Doug Flutie would probably be the OG of short kings for the Buffalo Bills. We should do a segment, all short kings for the Buffalo Bills.
I think you covered them all in 10 seconds.
I think I covered all of them in NFL history just then. Oh, yeah, and Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles is like 5'6". I think he's the shortest NFL player I've ever heard of, when I think of it. But
it's always funny like when people post, it must be like Tinder, but they post like their Twitter or Tinder conversations. So the guy will always be like, hey, and the girl will always be like, how tall are you? And the guy will be like, oh, I'm five something. She's like, oh, sorry. Like, or berating for not being six. Or no. What happens is like the girl will say, how tall are you? And the guy will be like, well, how much do you weigh? And then the girl like berates him. Like, how dare you ask me that?
The shortest player in the history of the NFL was Jack Shapiro, who played for the Staten Island Stapletons in 1929 for one game. He is 5'1".
And he was missing both his legs.
He only played one game, but he played one shortest game. In 1929, but he's the shortest player in NFL history.
He left that to go jockey a horse race.
He played as a blocking back in a 34-0 victory over the Minneapolis Red Jackets.
Maybe he was teams? Like a Rudy, though, and they just put him in at the very end.
Oh, yeah. Rudy. What was his name
once
again?
It's like completely over and he can have no impact either way.
Doesn't say.
That was the crux of Rudy, is it was like there was a good story behind it, but when you look at the big picture of it, it was like, who cares? What did he do? Like, I thought you would have thought by the way that this movie went that he was like led the, you know, college football rankings in sacks at Notre Dame. Like he went on one play that didn't matter because they were up by so much, and he sacked essentially who's the Jets' backup quarterback?
Zach
T.
Wilson.
Boyle?
No, T. Boyle's a third stringer. Zach Wilson's a backup.
Oh yeah. Essentially,
Boyle is something you have excised, right? Isn't that what a boil is?
I think so. I don't know. Luckily, that's
have you guys ever had a boil?
Like I don't know, Mike. It sounds like you have. There's nothing wrong with that.
I got something.
I think I've boiled food before.
Mike's like, actually, while you guys are on the call with me, can you go check this out in the camera? Like, give me your medical opinion.
So we agree, like, to bring it back, Gabe Davis, we're done with Gabe Davis. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of...
He's the new Zay Jones.
Like, his rookie year was so promising. Like, he had those... In the playoff run, like, he had those, like, sideline toe taps and all that stuff.
Yeah. He was
and those nice grabs, but I don't know what happened after that.
He was an integral part of the team for that part, you know, like, just to get to that level.
I got something. Right before halftime, I liked that they came out aggressive with under a minute, and they were able to string some plays together, which I thought was impressive, right? It seemed like Joseph Brady, unlike Dorsey, could get to hit a couple plays and actually string them together. So good play calling there. But then when it got down to like, was it like 12 seconds? Like we tried a sneak with Allen. You remember that?
Yeah.
When we needed a yard and it was like, why not try a pass to get the first to get in field goal range? It kind of boggled my mind. Like the first down was completely meaningless in that situation. The Bills had the timeout.
Yeah, that whole drive.
Like you just got to get in field goal range, and then they were trying for like the Hail Mary.
Yeah, I didn't like any part of that drive.
Yeah, that was questionable. Like why just go? Because they could have gotten like another, hopefully like another 20-yard pass or something, and then call the timeout 100%. Really quick and then kick a long field goal. Because that's right. I mean, kick a 60 yarder at that point, right? Like who cares? Because it's the end of the game. As long as they don't return a hit for a touchdown, you're good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I agree.
They wasted their time. They like they held on to that timeout too long, and like they just played to do the Hail Mary. And then they failed at it because
it's a Hail Mary.
Yeah. And he also didn't throw it in the end zone. They, like the receiver wasn't even close to the end zone. Like, why wasn't the receiver in the end zone? I don't get it. But
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nobody was there except that Jets player. cool. We didn't do Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the games. What's your Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the games for play the game for this win over the Jets?
I like the Shakir one for what I said before. The Jets, you know, only rushed three, dropped everybody else back. He beat Gardner. Allen was on the money with it, and Shakir did the rest of the work. I thought that was great. Honorable mention, Zach Wilson getting tackled by his own coach. That was pretty cool.
I'm glad you brought that one up, John, because it looked at first like he was trying to like stop him from falling down, but then it looked like he kind of took him down with his other arm, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like teaching him a lesson, right?
That's not what you'd normally want to teach your starting quarterback a lesson.
Well, I mean, backup quarterback, and then he got benched.
Yeah, no kidding. Sala is like a former defensive lineman or something like that. He was probably used to that. He's like, I see the quarterback. He's like, I just got to clothesline him. Like, that's the only thing I know.
Easy takedown. I got to take it.
I got takedown.
I think beautiful as that pass and the catch was, and then Shakir making the moves to get to the end zone. I think for me, the game felt it wasn't in doubt at that. So maybe pure aesthetics or football beauty, like I agree, but I really like the decision to go for it on fourth and one, and then Allen's pass to Ty Johnson. When it, like the game was still well in doubt, it was 16-6, and then with the Ty Johnson touchdown, it was 6-22. Buffalo. So I thought that was my play of the game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, Mike. I was going to do the fourth and one. I mean, just not only just getting the first down and keeping that drive because they were up 16-6 at that point, and it was in the third quarter after the rough Hail Mary botch at the end of the half. And then, going for it on fourth and one, not only just getting the first down, but getting the touchdown and including someone like Ty Johnson, who's, you know, not known for a heck of a lot. They did miss the point after, but that play in general was what put them over the edge and kind of like put it out of reach because then the Jets were forced to pass and they couldn't. So I did like the 81-yard touchdown, though. That was nice to see. That was just aesthetics, like Mike said, but that was so nice. Those are beautiful aesthetics.
It's also just, like, what the Bills offense should be, right? Like those big play things, and like you don't see that much out of them anymore. So it was good to see that.
They not only don't get long passes, they don't get a lot of yards after catch or deep passes. I mean, that had everything, really. Like, that was it. They had everything in the offense that I felt like we've been missing since, what, the Dolphins game, for the most part?
Yeah, exactly.
So hats off to Joseph Brady for that, Joe Brady. Hats off to Khalil Shakir for stepping up when he got the opportunity. He did have that one drop, but it's like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't in the most important time. Where, like, Gabe Davis, you know, had one earlier, and even Dalton Kincaid had one last week as well. I want to give an honorable mention to that Rasul Douglas interception, because it did lead to the first Bills touchdown in the second quarter, which was, like, key for that. You know, like, he jumped that route, got the interception, and the Bills scored Allen had a 5-yard touchdown pass to, I think it was, Cook, wide open James Cook on that play. That was almost sweet sassy molassy worthy, because it was like, it feels like the Bills, sure, they didn't score touchdowns with those first three field goals, but it feels like every touchdown that they do score, they have scored since the Dolphins game, has just taken so much effort and so much crazy whatever. And here was a play where it was a botched coverage, but James Cook is wide open. Josh Allen passes the ball perfectly to him. He catches, walks right in for the end zone. There were just so many things to like about this game from that standpoint that it was easy. It was easier. I won't say it was easy. I won't say the offense looked great. It just looked a lot easier. Was there a Gettysburg of the game? Would you call that Rasul Douglas INT the Gettysburg of the game?
Yeah.
The turning point of the game?
Yeah. I liked it.
John, did you have a better Gettysburg?
No, I don't really think there's a Gettysburg. I think the Bills should have won from the beginning, and they did. They were never behind, so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, those were sweet, sassy, molassy plays of the game brought to you by the Twin Spires Sportsbook at DeLago.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I want some hot takes. Anyone jonesing for some hot takes out there? John, Mike, do you guys have a hot take real quick before I get into these hot takes?
I do not have a hot take at current.
Do you think Ken Dorsey, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, is Ken Dorsey happy or sad?
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I don't think he cares. He's going to get another opportunity somewhere else, and that's the
way
it is.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool to have a Super Bowl ring?
Does he get one, even if he gets fired?
Yeah.
I don't think if he get fired, right?
Oh, yeah. He got him to 5-5.
He got past the
halfway
point.
How could you not?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Does he get
one? You mean, is he happy or sad is a good question. Not if he gets one. Like, I think anybody on the team would get one.
At the end of the season.
If you got traded before the trade deadline, you would still get a ring, like if you played.
I don't know. Do you?
Yes.
You do?
The question is, would you be happy or sad? You're getting one. I'm giving you one in the box.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'd be happy. I'd be getting a Super Bowl ring, and I'd be getting your job somewhere else.
The winning,
but it would be completely your, like, you got fired.
The winning team can typically present any number of rings to whomever they choose, including usually but not limited to players, active roster, inactive roster, injured reserve, coaches, trainers, executives, personnel, and general club staff. So yeah, they could give them.
They could do whatever they want. Yeah.
They could give one to OJ if they wanted to. Like, yeah. I think.
You're telling me I'm getting a ring if I'm Dorsey. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, but yes, yes. Say you will. Say you get a ring.
Yeah.
For that. Would you want happy. That, though? No, but John.
I'd sell it. Like, fuck you guys, I'm going to sell it.
I can see.
But the max you're going to get is the ring that, and the, what are you going to get? 50 grand? I mean, max.
I mean, the guy
and
probably.
And your salary would is, if you get another head or coordinator job is a mil.
Yeah, $50,000 is nothing if you're making a million a year.
So the down, like, maybe we're viewing it too much in a vacuum. Like, if they're successful, you'd be like, I guess I was the reason holding them back all that time. I almost cost them the Super Bowl.
Well, it depends.
Like, you're always associated with that.
I mean, it depends on the eye test. Like, if the offense looks the same the whole time and they win the Super Bowl, then it's like,
they won't,
no.
though, right?
Probably not.
No. If it was me, now you guys know me. I'm pretty.
I think you in your selfish. I know what you're gonna say. Go ahead, though.
No, let's see if John knows what I would say because you seem to know. John, what do you think I would do if you had to guess? Do you think I would want the team to do well and win a Super Bowl, or do you think?
No,
I'd
you wouldn't want them.
No, fuck them.
You'd want them to crash and burn. So you're like, I'm better than Joe. Like, the Bills just nosedive after they get rid of.
Yeah.
Of you.
Yeah, you needed me.
You pinned it on me. You made me the scapegoat. Ha ha.
That's right. I hope you all get fired now. Hope the team moves to Austin. Yeah, that's how I'd be, but it's not up to me. I think, so looking at it from that vantage point, obviously, from personally, is I don't think he wants them to do well, because then it was just proof that he wasn't a good. And if, right. even if they did win the Super Bowl and he decides he wants a ring, how do you respond to people? Be like, oh, cool, you want a ring? Yeah, I was the offensive coordinator for the Bills. Oh, that's cool. You like, because people, not everyone knows the stuff like we do. Like, probably 99% of the people that he meets that he shows a Super Bowl ring to have never even heard of him. Like, oh, cool, you coached the Bills in the Super Bowl? Well, I mean, they got rid of me.
Has that ever happened?
I guess so. No, it wasn't, I guess not. Yeah. It's not even a question of the ring necessarily winning. It's more like, do you want them to be successful? Because you're still, in theory, friends with a lot of people on the, like, true. Up until last week, they were all your coworkers. It would be the analogous situation if you got fired from your job and you were friends with everybody. You're all striving towards that dream. Do you want that company to go bankrupt? I'm like, screw these guys. Or are you like, I hope they're company of the year. And everybody gets a $50,000
bonus or whatever.
Bonus, yeah. You know, it's interesting.
I guess it depends on if I left the job and then all of a sudden everyone did amazing at the job at their job because I was gone. Mate just talks too much. He's a talker at work. Couldn't get anything done. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think if it was just from a friend. Do you think, now you bring up the bigger...
John, maybe we need to make it more personal for John. John, if we voted you off this podcast tonight... Would you want us to skyrocket to number one downloads, or would you want us to get kicked off completely? Which, like, that's the well, you would want us to fail.
It depends. Is it just you two, or are you bringing somebody else in?
Well, we need to bring in a Joe Brady, obviously. That's true. What if, well, okay, so if it was just Mike,
I'll speak for me, I would want you guys to fail so hard.
Would it be funny if I named if we got rid of you and we named the other co-host Mike also, so I would never have to change anything of like name Mike and John at all? That would piss you off even more. What if it was Buffalo Mike?
They do that in sitcoms all the time. They just bring in a new actor and they call him the same guy.
Like Will Smith's mom in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mike's replacement is, yeah.
They do it all the time?
Well, they used to. They don't do it so much anymore.
Back in the 80s.
We just talked about Maggie Gyllenhaal versus Katie Holmes in Batman and Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah. They did it in Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Oh, with the kids?
Yeah,
right?
The daughter, yeah.
Daughter. Yeah, you're right. Jeez, good memory, Mike. You just like that show because her name was Michaela, and Michaela sounds just like Mike.
Love that show.
It'd be like us liking a name like John likes Jonathina or something. I don't know if any John, Jonelle, or I don't know. There's no any female names that start with John, but yeah, it did happen. But so you bring up the greater question, Mike, I think, of just like when coaches get let go, do they go into every job knowing, unlike us, the people that just schlep into work every day, knowing that they will probably get fired at one point or another, right? Like that's like you said that when we talked about in the Ken Dorsey firing episode a few days ago. You're just like every coach that ever goes in knows that they will either retire or get fired from their job. Like there's no in between. Like you will either, you know, stay there as long as you possibly can, obviously, but it will one day end in your resignation or firing. Look at Belichick. I mean, he'll retire possibly, but I mean, they're not going to keep him, you know, winning 5 and 6 games forever. So no matter how many Super Bowls you've won, does Ken Dorsey go into that knowing like, this was what I knew going into it? Or does it matter how it's handled? Like he could easily be very bitter over the way it ended just based on the fact that he was kind of scapegoated for something that the Bills that McDermott did wrong with the 12 men on the field, right?
I think there's always going to be opportunities. And I think for all these guys, like in Dorsey's case, right, he was the quarterback's coach as Josh Allen became a superstar. So like teams are like, oh, well, maybe we should look at this guy for offensive coordinator or quarterback's coach. And then he becomes offensive coordinator again later on, or like these things, or goes to college. Like there's a lot of opportunities. There's been like, if you look at any like resume of any coach that's ever been, they've been to like all these different places. Oh, as a offensive quality control coach at Arkansas State. And then I was quarterback's coach here, and then offensive coordinator here, and the offensive coordinator there. I was, oh, head coach here. Oh, offensive coordinator here. Then head coach there. Like there's so many opportunities like all over the country, and these guys will catch on somewhere. And if they get in the right situation, they could be great somewhere else. So I don't know. And that's probably what if I was somebody in that position thinking that, hey, I think I've been doing good, I think there's been other issues, or if I feel like I've been a scapegoat, then like I'm going to like try that much harder at the next place and maybe you fit in somewhere, but maybe you don't. And it's just like the same thing with quarterbacks too. You could be a great quarterback, but you land on a really bad team with a bad offensive coordinator and the offensive line is terrible, worse in the league, and you get sacked all the time. Or you could be an okay quarterback and it's like, hey, I got a great coach, great offensive line, good running game, awesome receivers, and now I'm looking pretty good. So a lot of it's situational, and a lot of it too is like the situation, how it presents itself to the specifically between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. Like you have to play to the quarterback's strengths. And I feel like Dable did way better job at that than Dorsey did for playing to Allen's strengths.
Well, that's how Joe Brady got to where he is today, because he was fired by the Panthers. And then he became the quarterback's coach for the Bills. And then he waited for a firing, and then he got his opportunity again. You're right. I think he's just going to buy his time. You're right. That's his progression if he stays in coaching.
What'd you say he's going to do?
Go back to being a quarterback's coach.
He's going to be a coach somewhere.
Something with his time?
Biding his time?
I think he said buy his time. Like, ah!
I might have said that. Who knows? I've been known to slip up verbally before.
Biding his time. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I can't disagree.
I mean, it's not always an ascension up, was for what John's saying, which is a good point. Because that's how, I mean, look at Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson was a head coach of a Super Bowl winning team. He got fired. He, instead of going right back to being another head coach, he became an offensive coordinator somewhere else. Now he's a head coach of the Jaguars and they're doing great again, right? So wonder what Doug Marrone's up to. Speaking of guys.
It's funny. I was talking about the other day, like with somebody about like drought coaches and like Greg Williams and Mike Mularkey, Chan Gailey and Doug Marrone and all these guys. And it's like every 2 or 3 years. Or Dick Geron. Gosh.
Yeah. Just makes you think, like, when people are calling for McDermott's head, which I get, but I'm like, do you not remember what we've had? Like, the last 15 years? Like, before him? They were just, yeah. I mean,
I can see the argument, like, to an extent. Like, at some point, he's got to advance, right? But, I mean, right now, I mean, I feel like he's been doing a good enough job.
Yes. Especially after a 32-6 win over the Jets. Like, we're all feeling that way. If he had lost, we'd be like, get rid of McDermott.
Well, I think either way, we'd have to see how not only this year and next year plays out for McDermott. Because, like, at the end of this year, we got to see what they end up deciding officially for offensive coordinator, right? technically, Joseph Brady is interim, so we'll see how he does. Maybe they'll keep him on. Maybe they'll go for somebody else. They have a few different guys that on their coaching staff that have called plays on offense. So they went with him. So we'll see how it goes.
The Bills this year, though, it's and maybe this is an indictment of McDermott. I agree with Nate. Like, I remember the drought years, and I like McDermott. But it's frustrating that they never win the close game. Like, just look at the games this year. It's you blow them out by 25, which has been every game except the Giants game, or it's a heartbreaking loss. Like, you cannot win a close game. So I don't know if that's on the team not being clutch, or if that's, hey, this is the year do we lose a bunch, and maybe the first half of the year was we lost a bunch, and now we'll start winning the close ones, or if it's hopefully it's a regression of the mean where we win half the close ones. But it seems the last couple of years we've just gotten crushed on the close games, right? It's the overtime loss to the Jets. It's the Patriots last second. It's the Denver game, 12 men on the field, the last play of the game when we had it won.
There's definitely something to be said for in-game management, and there has been something lacking there under McDermott, even before he was officially also calling defensive plays.
And you always say, like, you have to hire somebody else, and I don't think I'm still with McDermott. I don't have anybody better, but I don't know what needs to change or start winning a close game. Like, just looking back years, 13 seconds, the Hail Mary, like, every time we come out on the wrong end of it. So I'm looking.
It does.
In these coming weeks, playing these powerhouse teams. Nate, I think Nate mentioned like the Eagles game. If it's close, like I want to see a close game come down to the wire, and the Bills pull it out.
That's frustrating for sure.
Man, now I think we should fire McDermott. No, you're right. I mean, I think this year specifically, but last year they went 13-3, and those three games that they lost were by a total of 8 points. So you can't tell me that I can't remember them off the top of my head, obviously, but
they must have won some close games. I mean, they were 13-3 and they did not very good down the stretch. They won some close games last year.
Yeah. So they're not losing all close games. It just seems like that this year, but it's also compounding everything, including the injuries, including the offensive woes, including some of the special teams woes and all that stuff. It just maybe feels like it's as worse than it is, but probably subpar. I agree. You're right, Mike. At some point, you want to see a coach that you feel confident in a big game will make the right decision, like it felt like Belichick would always do with those close games, you know, in like the Super Bowl or AFC Championship games or whatever. It just felt like he knew before it even had to happen what he was supposed to do. Whereas at times it feels like McDermott is just like, do this, you know? And it's like, you should know before it gets to that point what to do. And maybe he does, but it's the wrong thing to do at times this season. I agree. I would like that confidence.
I don't think it's just the season though. I don't think it's just since he's been calling the defensive plays. I would argue that that's happened in previous seasons as well,
right,
particularly in the playoffs. So there's definitely something to be said for that. But I'm not willing to pull the plug on him just yet, as frustrating as that might be.
But like, there are some things though, which he's improved on since the first few seasons. Like going for it on 4th-and-1, he wouldn't have done that first season or two. Like that was, he was very conservative to start out with. And to his credit, he's been a lot more aggressive in that. And we're always like, you know, go for it on 4th-and-3, right? From, you know, the Bills' own 38. And he does for the most part.
That reminds me, at one point in the game, it was 4th-and-7. And there was the whole, like, the Jets call timeout, and then the Bills are like, oh, we're gonna make you jump off sides, and then we're going to want. Like, that should have been a go-for-it play. And I've made this point before in previous games. The previous play, where they just chucked it downfield, should have been, we're going to go for it on the next play, so let's make this manageable if we don't get the first down. And they didn't do that. So it was very similar to what Dorsey would have done. And I wasn't a fan of that. Granted, it's his first game doing it for the Bills, and he's, you know, been under Dorsey this whole time. So who knows if what changes he's going to make in the future, but that didn't look good to me.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So it'll be good to monitor in the future. We'll be keeping track of that. We didn't get into hot takes on Twitter. I want to read a few of these. Luke Russert said, Luke Russert, son of Buffalo legend Tim Russert, he writes, they got a pulse, baby. I mean, they got a pulse, baby. Shout out to Luke Russert. I'm in the process of re-listening to his dad's book on CD, Big Russ and Me. So he mentions Luke several times in that. So that's always good. Shout out to Luke Russert. And as always, go Bills. Big R writes, if offense looks competent against Philly, try to make Joe Brady full-time immediately. Has that ever happened where they inked a guy after they just fired another guy, the interim head coach? Like, here's a 3-year deal. I mean, Philly's got a stout, stout defensive line. If the Bills do look good against Philly, that is definitely a step in the right direction. Bill Lasso writes, Ken Dorsey has been the stumbling block of Josh longer than we think. Josh has made leaps. People said he couldn't throw off-season training, but as a QB coach before offensive coordinator, Dorsey undid some of that. Maybe a stretch, but I think we are yet to see Josh's final form. What is a final form? Is that like Pokemon talk? Well, final evolution?
Well, he's in his sixth year, so like, is he going to be like peaking at what, 12 years? Or
when's he going to peak? I know. We'll see it in year 8. I think at year 8's when, yeah. Hot take number 2. Josh is statistically one of the best QBs in the last 4 years, but turnovers are hanging over his head. 1, how many interceptions are a result of receivers tipping balls? And 2, would we be having a different conversation if the Bills D survives 13 seconds? Oh, man. I don't want to think about 13 seconds at this point. I get what he's trying to say, but hey, I get what he's saying, but I don't want to drudge up 13 seconds on this wonderful victory podcast. Joey Hanover writes, hey, I know you didn't ask, but Wall of Shame, Sauce Gardner, we beat that ass. Jay Tang writes, very frustrating how little tweaks to the offense made it more productive. Yeah, it looks like, well, I mean, at least from the outside in, looking in, it didn't look like there was a lot. And Private Joker 2003 says the offense looks like they made things a lot easier for Allen. 6-5, Joe Brady season writes, Brady took Dorsey's bland playbook and added spice with pre-snap motion, more play action, and Allen under center. Yes. It was almost like that whole time. This is what, when I remember when Ken Dorsey took over the job from Brian Daboll, I was hoping we'd get a better version of Brian Daboll, right? Because that whole time, and I didn't love Brian Daboll. I didn't hate him, obviously. I thought he was a good offensive coordinator, but I still think we could have improved on him. And I was like, okay, this is good. Dorsey's been looking at what Brian Daboll's been doing. Take the things that work well from Brian Daboll and then improve on the things that don't work well for Brian Daboll. And then you get the best of all worlds. Maybe this is Joe Brady doing that with Ken Dorsey. He's taking all the positives. And I mean, there wasn't a lot of positives, let's be honest, but like taking all the negatives and making them better.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, you guys, I remember you guys were giving Wallace shame to Daboll some weeks while I was giving him Wall of Fame.
Well, because he was terrible.
Which made no sense to me because I thought it was doing well and the offense wasn't executing. And then everybody got bad, including you guys, when Daboll left.
I didn't get that mad.
Come on. And then we had the Dorsey debacle. I was pro Daboll the whole way.
You don't think we could have done better than Brian Daboll? I like Brian Daboll. I was not mad when he left. I was like, this kind of stinks. Because he left right as soon as, like,
no, I remember, the best I remember ever. Specifically, there were games where at least one of you would put him on your Wall of Shame, and I put him on my Wall of Fame.
Oh, I don't remember that, but yeah, I believe you. Well, Brian Daboll didn't get his shit together the year that he left until, like, game 12. And then, like, they were unstoppable after that. And, of course, that's when he leaves, but yeah.
And Dorsey, I gave the benefit of the doubt for a little bit, but, like, after a while, I was like, come on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, compared
but within a couple weeks after the Dolphins game, I was done.
You didn't look at Daboll leaving and you're like, they'll never find anyone better than him.
No, but I didn't think Dorsey would be better than Daboll.
No, I didn't necessarily think that either, but I was hoping. I just hoped he would be. But obviously, I'd take Daboll over, you know, that hot garbage pile in a moment. But let's see what Joe Brady does. Colby Pleasance writes that INT Josh Threw was an arm punt. Saving Close writes, Davis posts his second blank stat sheet of the year. Mike, there you go. Is that from your burner? Save and close? Davis. He's like, Davis, what are we doing with Davis? Mike Graham writes, Rasul Douglas is good. Joe Brady seems to be good for this offense. Buffalo Rumblings is in. Buffalo Rumblings site. Bills defense allows Jets to break their touchdown drought. That's funny. Andrew Freeman writes, how did we lose to this team week one? Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
No, Josh Allen is the reason why they lost.
Oh, that's
week
right,
one.
Josh Allen. Yeah, that's right.
Let's get.
And he had like three turnovers that game too.
Let's get that. Yeah, let's get. Josh Allen was solely responsible for the week one loss.
Andrew, yeah, TJ Gaines writes, I don't want to read too much into it because it was Zach Wilson-led Jets, but Dorsey was the problem. Yeah, but this is also the defense that usually does pretty well against the Bills' offense. They just schemed better for them for whatever reason.
I wouldn't blame the defense for a single game this season.
No, me either. Me either, John. I agree. Bob writes, not this year. Pissed away too many games early. Denver, New England, Jets. Ridiculous. That might end up being the case. That Denver game might be. So it's so funny because we'd still probably have Dorsey if the Bills won that Denver game. But like the Bills might be really good now, but the Bills might lose their chance of the playoffs potentially because of that Denver game. I think their statistics go up to 44%.
I think they could run the table.
I agree with Mike. I mean, this could be a blessing in disguise that they lost to Denver so that they could fire Dorsey. Although it could be argued that they could have fired Dorsey a couple weeks before that. But
you think they get. Sorry, John.
Nope. No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Could you think they get in at 10-7?
Yes.
I think that's imminently doable.
Aren't there? Aren't all four teams in the AFC North have winning records right now? Well, no, maybe not the Bengals anymore. No, they're 5-5 now, right? So
right, and Joe Burrow's done.
So okay, so they're pretty much done.
The Steelers have Kenny Pickett, and the Browns don't have Deshaun Watson. Not that he was any good anyway.
No, but.
So I'm not worried about any of those three teams, only the Ravens, and they're going to win
so
the division.
So that only puts,
anyway,
like, what, six teams in front of us, seven teams in front of us max?
So it's setting up
perfectly. We really have to hope that we can beat the Dolphins, and the Dolphins take a couple of losses, because our best...
Are we still only half a game behind the Dolphins?
Let me tell you. The Dolphins are 7-3, and the Bills are 6-5. So not... It's like a game and a half.
7-3. Oh, because they haven't had a bye.
Because they haven't had a bye. We haven't had a bye. Yeah. They have one more win and two less losses.
Okay. That's confusing.
Do you guys see it? So our remaining schedule is Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins. For me.
Went out
on the table. But in my mind, it kind of breaks down to, and maybe you guys see it differently, but Eagles, Chiefs win one of two. And then the last four games win three of four and we're in.
Yes.
Do you kind of see it that way, or do you?
I could see. I think the Eagles are very winnable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way about the Chiefs, but having the bye week before the Chiefs makes it even more winnable.
Mm-hmm.
I get that they're both away, but I don't think that definitely matters as winnable much as it used to. Especially the Bills always beat the Chiefs in Kansas City in the regular season, it feels like, right? Like.
And the Eagles will have a short week, right? They're playing the Chiefs Monday night.
Right, right. And they get Dallas at home.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the Chargers, but the Chargers can be pretty wonky.
Yes.
Chargers are so mid.
Oh, they're so mid.
They're whatever, like the definition of means. Mid. Whatever that just know, John, even if you don't know what mid means, they're the definition of mid. Like, they're the NFL version of mid.
Oh, I totally get it now. And then... Pats and Dolphins, right?
Yeah. That could be, wouldn't that be a fun week if it was there, if both the Dolphins and the Bills were 10-6, or like, or if the Dolphins are 11-5 and the Bills are 10-6, because if the Bills win that game and they have the same schedule or the same record, it doesn't matter about division wins because the Bills have had the tiebreaker face to face, right?
Or so what's the Dolphins schedule look like?
Oh, it's super easy.
Bad.
It's super easy. They play the Ravens. I think that's the toughest one. Well,
that's
schedule.
That's a tough one.
The Bills and the Ravens. Hold on.
That's two losses right there.
They have the Jets next week. They have the Commanders the week after.
Oh, the Jets are going to be so mad next week. They're going to be the Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. It's at New Jersey. It's at Washington for the Commanders. And then they play the Titans. It's just Titans aren't that good. And then they play the Jets again. Jets could easily pull one of those two
honestly,
games.
Honestly, a lot of those games could go with
Aaron Rodgers is coming back. The Bills got The Jets before Aaron Rodgers came back.
And then he'll get injured again. Okay, go ahead.
I think I heard him say that they had the bye week after Thanksgiving, and he said on the Pat McAfee show that he's supposed to come back for that Commanders game, I believe. So,
yeah, I feel like he's the same as Von Miller. yeah, I'll be fine. It'll be good. Well,
I'll be ready. Aaron Rodgers doesn't see another snap the whole season.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about whatever Aaron Rodgers says.
So they play the Jets, the Commanders, the Titans, the Jets, and then they play the Cowboys like we do, and then the Ravens. So they would need to lose to the Cowboys, the Ravens, hopefully the Jets once, and find another loss in there.
The question is, can the Bills win out, be 12-5, and get the one seed somehow? So the Chiefs were three games back from the Chiefs. What's the Chiefs' schedule?
Chiefs are 7-2.
We play the Chiefs, so we would have the tiebreaker.
Yep. So the Chiefs, it's not that tough. I'll just say they have one of the easiest schedules left, it looks like. So they are playing the Raiders next week.
Division game, though. You don't ever know.
Besides the Eagles, sorry. You're playing the Eagles, like Mike said. Yep, you're right. The Raiders, it's a division game. The Raiders are always playing tough, I feel like.
Eagles are tough.
Eagles, Raiders, Packers in Green Bay, so maybe.
Packers are a wild card.
Yep. They're kind of mid. Bills. The Bills. After that, then the Patriots, then the Raiders, and then the Bengals, and then the Chargers. So the Bengals one will probably,
But the Chargers always play the Chiefs tough.
Yep. So. The Bengals always play the Chiefs tough.
Bills can still get the one seed at 12-5 is what I'm thinking.
I mean, the Chiefs would need to lose three more. So one would be against the Bills and just
right.
Lose
it's only
two
other games.
So the Eagles and then someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Done.
Chargers. Yeah.
Who's
Chargers? I got a quiz.
Okay.
The Chargers, I don't have the stats for this week. So prior to this week, the Chargers as an NFL franchise have won 482 games. How many games do you think they've lost?
482 games that they've played, how many have they lost?
No, they've won 482.
Oh, how many have they lost? 482.
You got it.
That's really? All right.
That's a smart answer.
Since Herbert has started, they are 29-29.
No kidding.
Since he has started, they have scored 1,502 points and allowed 1,502 points.
Wow.
Bro, that's the definition of mid. If the Bills cannot beat that team, they won't do anything in the playoffs. Well, who cares?
The Bills are just about to get on their hot streak. You got to get the hot streak at the right time, right? At the end of the season, start to get hot, and then carry that on to the playoffs.
The Dolphins and the Chargers should play in the first round of the playoffs and have a mid-off.
Actually, I would like to see that. I would like to see Dolphins Chargers. Because they did that. Was that week one? Was that Dolphins Chargers?
Yeah, it was. Where they almost...
And that was a sloppy game. I'd like to see that again.
Yeah, the Chargers, the Dolphins just barely won that one. Jared Walker writes, extremely hot take. If this offense can take care of the ball, they can beat anyone. McDermott's D, injuries and all, is so good. Next week will be tough anyway, but much more if Jackson and or Johnson can't go. Looking our chances against KC, though. Liking our chances. It must be what he meant. Liking our chances against KC, though. Yeah, the loss of Taron Johnson specifically. Dane Jackson, sure. But Taron Johnson specifically, especially against A.J. Brown. You know, next week with the Eagles, like that's a tough loss. Hopefully, I don't know the seriousness of it, but
yeah, I was going to ask you guys because I was in a situation where I could closely monitor that today, like with Taylor Rapp and Taron Johnson. Do you guys have any other information on those injuries at all? Or I know it just happened a few hours ago.
What were you doing? Going to the bathroom?
No, just a birthday party thing. There's no volume on the TV, so.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, there was volume, but there was a lot of like
screaming.
Yeah. A lot of other noises.
So, this is from Sebastian Fearon, PTDBT. He says, I'm just searching Twitter. He says, Dane Jackson and Taron Johnson, concussion, both ruled out. Expect 1 to 2 weeks, chance to clear protocol, but this year, most miss one game. Taylor Rapp, neck, carted off an ambulance, but was not taken to hospital and able to go home. Good sign, but TBD.
So we're going to lose two corners for the next game, including our slot corner. Nickel, I guess, corner.
Yeah, nickel, yeah. But still, it's the most important role against the Eagles, right?
and Tre'Davious White is already out. So, yeah. Offense is going to score 40 points, right? Like, at some point, they're going to have to do it.
I know.
But they barely got to 32 today because they got a whole bunch of field goals.
Well, one thing we didn't mention, too, is the Bills took out their starters at some point. It's been a while since they've done that.
I remember seeing Matt Cavage got hurt today. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot they pulled some starters out, which is great to see. But the offense, at some point, is going to have to score a lot more points earlier on.
Yes. Banged Up Bill says Taylor Rapp had the neck injury. Taron Johnson, Dane Jackson, the concussion. Like you said, Todd Matakevich had a chest injury. Kingsley Jonathan had a knee ankle injury. And Rasul Douglas had a lower ribs abdomen injury. Luckily, I think he finished the game. So hopefully it's just like a limited thing for Rasul Douglas the whole week and he can go against the Eagles. They'll definitely need him.
What do you guys think the opening line for the Eagles game is?
Eagles definitely leading. John, what do you think? I'll let you go first, unless you just want me to throw something.
Oh, you're like, oh, they're leading. Actually, I'm not sure. Listen, I can pick the
I have to type it into Google. Hold on. I'll go. I'll say they're favored by 4.5 points.
The Eagles?
Yes.
Eagles 4.
3.5.
Ah,
yes. Shit.
I'd go with Nate. I'm surprised. Well, it's like you have to the homer in me. Like
I was thinking Eagles like 2.5 or 3. But
yeah, and then you're like, oh, you got to discount that. Oh, I'm a Bills fan, and I've bet on them every week.
No, I'm a realist. They're two competitive teams. I mean, home team,
but Eagles much more consistent.
Yeah, but they've had flaws too this year. So they lost to the Jets, right?
They almost lost a bunch. They're like the opposite of the Bills. They've been winning all their close games, whereas the Bills have been losing. It's like the Chiefs too, like just the opposite the way the ball is bouncing. Anakin Skywalker, I gotta read this one. He says for hot takes, I think we'll end on this one. He says, "Fire the OC. The Bills are done." Joe Brady walks in. What is dead may never die. Most points versus the Jets since 2018. What a 180. My only hot take now is I have to reset my list for my airing of grievances. It's a Festivus miracle, Bills Mafia, turkeys and tutties. Yeah, those are looking good. It's a good way to go into the... So, guys, any final...
Wait, do you hurt all of them? You should be hurting everybody that responds to you.
No, I don't have time for that. No, just kidding. Everyone that responds or everyone
this,
that...
It's just a quick press of the finger as you're scrolling. Press.
Jeez.
You don't like all those comments?
I like every comment that's not like...
Well, you got to do it on your phone so you can scroll with one finger and heart with the other finger. You're doing it on a computer.
You do that? I always scroll with the same finger I heart with. You do two different ones?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. You're like next level, dude.
It's all about efficiency.
But you can't not do some because then it looks like you're playing favorites, you know?
I don't think it's just one that you really don't like, right?
I don't think people care as much as you think they do. I don't think they look at this and like, this is funny.
Well, they get notified.
Well, they don't get notified if other people get likes and you don't. It's only if you get a like.
Right, but I'm saying like they'll get notified that, oh, Nate hearted this.
Oh, and they're
like
more,
that. That'll make anyone feel good, and it takes him like 0.001 second.
That's a good point. And then they're more apt to look you up again.
Engage, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Mike's got a really good point there.
It wasn't like I was just like, I'm too good to like every tweet. I just don't think of it.
No, so, I'm not judging. I'm not judging.
Yeah, I like a lot of tweets. I'm not judging. He's just a shitty host. That's all. And Twitter.
Well, it's just like it costs you nothing. It would take 2 seconds.
I try to like a lot of them, especially if they agree with whatever I'm saying. But like, I just haven't been doing it. I'll try to do it especially for the hot takes. How's that? For the hot takes? I'm gonna like.
I mean, you're asking people for content. Yeah, that's
the least definitely. I could do.
Yeah. Right,
and maybe even comment too.
Definitely
on theirs. Yeah.
Listen, let's not go nuts.
And do some follows. You know, follow for a follow.
Cool. Any other things that? Great advice, guys. Thank you so much for that. I'll give you a few more stats real quick. Floyd had 2.5 sacks today. That's the most he's had in a game as a Bill, and the second most he's ever tallied. Floyd set his career high at 3 sacks with the Rams versus the Seattle Seahawks. He is, you might look, if the Bills do end up going far, you might look at that as like, wow, like that was one of the most important signings. Like Rasul Douglas and Leonard Floyd, like those might have been the most important signings slash trades that the Bills have done. Allen has now tallied 206 career offensive touchdowns, 160 passing, 45 rushing, one receiving, setting a new NFL record for a player's first six seasons. Rasul Douglas, cornerback, recorded three takeaways, two interceptions, one fumble recovery. He tallied his second fumble recovery since joining the Bills, along with one last week versus the Denver Broncos. It was the second multi-interception game of his career. Khalil Shakir's 81-yard touchdown reception is the longest in the NFL this season. Wow. The entire NFL this season. We're like 11 games in. That's not... Wow. Does that surprise you guys as much as it surprises me? An 81-yard touchdown is the longest touchdown reception.
No. Because the average drive start has got to be around... I mean, not average, but like a lot of the drive starts have got to be around like 25, right? Like touchback. Oh, okay, we got the 25.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So 75, you're automatically starting. 75 is as long as you can do. So
aside from, you know, kickoffs that don't make it that far or punt returns and things like that. But yeah. Well, I think a lot of them are going to be opportunity-wise about 75 yards.
It's a very mid stat for me. 81-yard touchdowns is the longest. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it that Shakir did it, but...
I mean, didn't, like, Trent Edwards have a 99-yard touchdown pass?
Yes. Or whatever. Against T.O. Or with T.O., yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. Sean McDermott won his 68th game as Bills head coach, tying Lou Saban for second most in franchise history behind Marv Levy. Marv Levy's at 112. So the Bills can get to... So he can get to... What is that? 17 games in a season... He is 44 behind. How many wins is that? 10 a season? He can get there in like four or five seasons if he stays with the Bills. Bills Mafia doesn't run him out of town.
Is it gonna... That's going to be tough.
No, it's too much of a good thing. The Bills improved to 12-1 in division games at Highmark Stadium, including playoffs since 2020. In those games, the team has posted a plus 181 point margin. Wow, now that's a cool stat. Buffalo's 32 points marks the most given up by the Jets defense this season. The Bills defense allowed 155 yards of total offense, their fewest since allowing 53 versus New York Jets in January of 2022. Buffalo also records six sacks and four takeaways, both the team's second most this season. They had nine sacks and five takeaways versus Washington in week two or three or whatever it was. All right, that'll be do it for stats of the game. This is good. Guys, anything else you want to leave the podcast with? All set? Thank you guys all for listening. Again, this episode is brought to you by the Twin Spire Sportsbook at DeLago, DeLago Resort and Casino. Signing off for John.
Are you taking Monday off? I think we should all take, or not tomorrow, but like next Monday after the Eagles. If the Bills pull off the huge upset of the Eagles in a preview of the Super Bowl, we should all take Monday off.
We'll just start a Super Bowl preview episode right then in week 12.
So I do have tomorrow off, but not the following Monday off. So
nice.
But I'll still talk. And do the podcast. You know, it's cool.
Okay, good. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. So signing off for John.
Go Bills.
For Mike.
Go Bills. We're back on track. I'm excited for the playoffs, Nate.
Me too. Me too. And for me, Nate, go Bills. We are no longer a mid-team. We're back in the winning ranks. And I look forward to the Eagles game. Get off 12 men, let's hear you scream.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
So, John, you can start saying mid. You can start incorporating mid now.
Mid. So, like, I could say, like, mid. Like, what are, like, the other options?
You just say, that's mid.
Is it major and minor are the other options, or is it just mid and nothing else?
It's mid.
Mid. It's either, like, average.
You're either elite, you're ass, or you're mid. There's only three options.
Wait, say that again?
No, I'm just joking. It's the only extremes, right? If you're, like, mediocre, it's just another way of saying mediocre. You're mid, right? Like, you're not good.
Like a C.
Good.
In school,
yes.
getting
yes.
70 yeah. something.
Like the Bills for the entire drought were mid AF. Holy shit.
Well, like mid or less than mid.
Mid or worse. Mid. That made them even more mid they by were, being a little were, less than mid.
They were mid at best.
Mid at best.
Mid is less than mediocre because now everyone wants to excel. So like mid is like...
Mid is like the drought bills.
7-9 wasn't even mid because 8-8 was mid. So yeah, they were always less than mid.
It's like calling somebody an NPC. That's go time.
And then the one time they went 9-7 and still missed the playoffs because they lost to the Steelers third stringers.
Yeah, that was mid. Do people actually call each other as an insult an NPC?
Only if they want to fight.
That is the new yo mama like of this generation. Ours was like your mama's such a hoe or whatever, and then that would be fighting words, right? And this generation, it's like you're an NPC. The guy's like, what'd you just say? It's like, I just called your mama a whore. Like, I didn't really care about that. Did you just call me a fucking NPC?
A non-playable character?
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.